Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All right, before we get to what caught my eye, and we're going to start with a viral moment now that I have seen on multiple outlets, whether it's Pardon My Take, ESPN, whatever, it's making the rounds. Before we get to that, though, I have an apology to issue, a statement to issue. I made a mistake.
Big league.
And I was in the press box, and you know, I'm in a hurry. I'm doing post game for Cairo 7, and so I'm a little nervous. And I allegedly
walked
by Bump without saying anything.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and my boy Paul Moyer is like, ain't that your co-host?
What's up with your girl?
Like, yeah, actually, that is my co-host.
You guys, what'd like, Paul say? Ain't that your co-host?
Yeah. He knows good it's terms?
Me. Like, you guys don't talk, or what's going on? You know, she's focused, you know what I mean? She's locked in and what she's doing, just straight embarrassing me in front of my friends.
Did you, like, wave or, like, what's up, Stace?
I'm, like, waiting for eye contact. I'm like, all right.
Wow.
Moving on. Third down. Third down. Let's watch this third down. Big league me.
I'm sorry.
Goodness.
You know what? Because you don't stay in there for the whole game. You bounce around. You go to the suite. You go to different areas of the stadium. And usually if you're in there, you'll pop by, say what's up to me and Bob and Brandon, yeah. Kind of crouch down. Hey, what's up, guys?
You know what?
Talk for a bit.
You know how friendships work? Have to be reciprocated.
I know.
I can't always go say hi to you, Stacey.
I know. I'm sorry. I know Curtis would have never done that to you. And
never.
And I
really, well, I talk to Curtis all the time.
Yeah, we see each other more than we see our
true
families.
However, is any part of you or you, Curtis, surprised that the second I found out I was going to be on TV, I went big league and just refused to
all
acknowledge
not
any of
not
you guys?
Not surprised.
You know what I mean? Like, on the other hand, you know who you're dealing with here.
Yes.
Like, the second if I become a millionaire, it's over.
It's a wrap.
I'm gone. Yeah. I'm not even calling in.
He's not going to show up.
Just not going to show up. But yeah, Bump, my bad. Paul, Bump is my friend. I beelined for the, I was following Chris. I was not paying attention. Went straight down to the field. And let me just say, I've never watched a Seahawks game from the stands. I've only ever watched it from the press box,
really?
Which isn't a flex. It is to say that, like, my family, we just never paid to go to Seahawks games. So only maybe three times ever have I been out in the kind of atmosphere of the stadium when it's going crazy. Once was in overtime, late in the game against the Saints, late in a game against, like, the Jags one time, I think, and then this game. Every single time I go out, I forget how loud it is. And I know it's loud. Like,
yeah.
It's stupid to say because I know it's loud, but it like felt it in my chest how loud it was.
That's why I go out there every third quarter,
yeah,
to experience it and feel what's going on.
You just walk out?
Let's walk out there.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And throw the hoodie on. I hide the credential and I just walk around.
That's what I need to do. That's my move, man. I should have done it. All right. Let's get to what caught my eye looking at all the moments in this game that stand out. We got a couple stats, a couple of moments. Bump, normally I have you get started, but I'm going to start with this one because I already teased it. Darryl Taylor, how about this one? Running from the sidelines onto the field. 12th man on the field? Yeah, that's what happened. Throwing a block even during Quandre Diggs' pick and return. I'm going to tell myself that Darryl Taylor thought he was down and was very excited. Bump, I really hope that was the case.
That has to be it. He thought he was in college, and you just need to go down to the ground.
To celebrate.
And he was, you know, he reminded me of, like, my dog when she gets really excited, starts running around, running laps and stuff. He reminded me of my Labrador Lulu when she gets excited, start running laps and doing stuff she normally doesn't do.
That's what it was. He was so excited. I'll add, I sure wish there was another moment from this game where I said, look at Darryl Taylor go.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't love that a block when he was a 12th man on the field was the only moment I remember from Darryl Taylor in this game. My expectations were so high in week one. He looked so good last year.
My man threw a block, though.
He did, but he was like on accident. Like, he threw it, and then he kind of put his hands up like, oh, wait, I shouldn't be doing this.
And then runs to the end zone and celebrates.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, DT.
It was like, what's that viral clip of that guy who's not a part of the team? Now, Darryl Taylor is, but He's like a coach or like a front office guy. Curtis, do you know this? He's like screaming at the wall when the players go out onto the court. I think it's a basketball court.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah. He's like, let's get out!
That in my mind was Daryl Taylor. You were not a part of this play, man.
Goodness gracious.
Love it. All right, what do you got?
DK Metcalf caught a football on the sideline yesterday and ran through a human being. It wasn't even close. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this go down, and Trufant's like, oh, that DB wanted none of that smoke. That just reminded me just how strong DK Metcalf is, mm-hmm. man. And imagine trying to tackle him. So then the next time,
no,
it was number 30, the guy who almost had an interception in the end zone. The next time he went to tackle DK, it was like ankles, shoelaces. I want no parts
like,
of this.
I'm not messing with this at all.
And he made the tackle, but that's the way to go. Like, you don't tackle DK high. You have to go low.
List of things I would not want to run into at full force. Number one, DK Metcalf. Number two, maybe brick wall, but it's like a distant second. DK, there. You know what I love about DK's career? Not only did he surpass Steve Largent for the, I believe, fourth most receiving yards through a Seahawks player's first four seasons, something like that. I'm butchering this stat. But he surpassed Steve Largent for something really cool.
Yeah.
He also had, A really solid game under the radar because they lost, mm-hmm. and B, continues to, despite being in his fourth year, do something every single season where I am still left in awe of how physically gifted he is. You know what I mean? It's like, just it. You know that a player's great. It's kind of like how, I'm not comparing them directly, it's kind of like how Patrick Mahomes still manages to find ways to make you feel, God, this guy can play. I've watched so many of his games. How am I still shocked? But that's how I feel about DK. He'll still do one or two things where you go, oh my God, this guy's a grown man.
It's that type of player.
Yeah. Unreal. All right. My turn. You know what unfortunately caught my eye, and this isn't a good one? Max Crosby. I said a phrase during the Cairo 7 postgame that got me a little bit of heat on Raiders Twitter.
Really?
But I said what I said, and I meant it. The Raiders are not a good team. They're not a great team. They're not great.
Mm-hmm.
However, they've got like five elite players. They're very top heavy. Like, they're a team that isn't exceptionally deep and they're pretty banged up, but they have dudes on there that can run over you, bowl over you, knock you down. You know what I mean? Like, just completely take over a game. And what happened is the Seahawks entered this one knowing, okay, we got to stop Josh Jacobs. We got to stop Devontae Adams. We have to keep Max Crosby at bay. And they did like one of those three things. So Josh Jacobs still ran all over you. And importantly, Max Crosby had six quarterback hits, getting at Geno all day long. Those six quarterback hits, two more than the Seahawks defense had as a team.
Max Crosby is a menace. He gave our offensive line the business. And you are right about the Raiders. Imagine if Waller and Renfro were healthy as well.
Oh, man.
Like, even more weapons. That's why going into this game, like, I was nervous. I'm like, this is a decent football team. Well, they've been in a lot of games.
Yeah, and you pointed it out. You were like, they have, like, sneaky great performances. Who would have thought Devontae Adams, a sneaky 10 touchdowns? I can't believe that's a real thing, but it is.
Yeah. He had 7 for 74.
What?
And that's a good day for us. We're like, cool, kept him under 100, no touchdowns. Then you got Josh Jacobs over there, 300 yards from the line of scrimmage. The Raiders are an interesting team, and I think that a win like this kind of, it helps McDaniels mm-hmm. over there. You know what I'm saying? Because he struggled. Where was he head coach at before this? Denver. He struggled in Denver. He goes back to New England. He's struggling here, but you kind of see what he's trying to do with this Raiders team.
Well, and I think that it's going to be the opposite of Denver, ironically, where Denver has no choice but to hang on to the quarterback and move on from the head coach. I think in Vegas, they almost have no choice but to hang on to the head coach and move on from the quarterback.
Eesh, yeah. That's tough.
I know. What do you got?
All right. What caught my eye? The acceleration, we talked about this play already,
mm-hmm.
but the deceptiveness of Tyler Lockett is mm-hmm. crazy. Like, when the football is in the air, he hits another gear, and he finds a way to make the difficult catch year in and year out. He is not slowing down at all. No, you look at his numbers, didn't have a great day. But as a receiver, I appreciate good receiver play and the little things. And Tyler Lockett continues to do the little things, man. He had 3 for 68, one touchdown. But Tyler Lockett is a receiver that I think his game is going to last a while. Like, Tyler Lockett is that power forward in the NBA who has a mid-range jumper and gets rebounds, right? You just find your spot, you hit your jumper, you get rebounds, hit the outlet, and you're going to play in this league for 10 to 12 years. I look at Tyler Lockett's game and I go, yeah, he's going to play about 10, 11, 12 years in this league for sure.
Yes, and the specific play, that kind of like deep rainbow ball, like he just... Very few other players are as good at as he is at making those catches. And I think that because he makes it look easy, people don't understand how difficult it is, which obviously, you know, from a receiver's point of view, how hard it is to be able to. How much separation did he really have from that corner?
When the ball was released, zero.
Right.
Then he created like another yard or two.
Exactly.
With his acceleration. It's just impressive. It's fun watching him do his thing.
Well, and it's hard to be able to, you don't want to give away, right, that you're tracking this ball, because then the corner's going to read your body language and be like, all right, when is he going to start reaching for it? I'm going to bat it down. He doesn't let him know at all until it's the very last second. And then he adjusts his speed, hauls it in, perfect hands. Yep. It's just, man, speaking of continuing to impress me year after year, Tyler Lockett does it in a more quiet way, but he still does it.
He does.
All right, here's what I got. I got another number you're not going to like. First, it was 6 quarterback hits by Max Crosby. This time, it's over 300 yards from scrimmage from
Josh Jacobs.
I know. 229 rushing yards alone from Jacobs. I know 86 of those were on the final play of the game in overtime, the one that sealed the win for Vegas. But still, 2 touchdowns total, including that one. 229 yards on 33 attempts. The 33 attempts almost matters more than the total yardage. Yes, the yardage is really, really ugly. But what's key is that the Raiders did not let up. They ran the ball. They didn't stop running. They committed to the run. Pete Carroll talked about it after the game. He was asked, obviously, by all the reporters, what was the deal with the run? Why couldn't you guys stop the run? He talked about the fits being an issue and that there were some recurring issues that they saw against Tampa. He talked about teams doing kind of a more old school style with two backs and making the most of that. But another thing he said was they committed. They didn't let up and we didn't stop them.
You saw the two back, you saw some tight end stuff, you saw the gap scheme, you saw a lot of the things that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did against the Seattle Seahawks, and that's how this league works. If it works, teams are going to do it, and that's what we saw against the Raiders. They realized, like, look, man, if we run, like, some power, some trap, and get some two back, and make it a physical game in the box, we'll be all right, and they succeeded.
All right, you do the headlines, or if you have one more.
I got one more.
Okay.
576.
Oh, net yards?
That's many yards. Gross. This defense gave up. 576 yards, 300 of it coming from one player, which we just mentioned. But and then you know what? Tip my cat to Derek Carr, too, man.
Yeah.
He got hit in the first quarter, and it looked like he was done. Those ribs were jacked up. But he found a way to battle back. He had 3 touchdowns, 295, 2 interceptions. But you can't give up 576 and expect to win the game. They gave up 576 and still almost won this game. So if there's a silver lining, it's like, look, you lost by 6. You gave up a lot of points. If you just eliminate 2 to 3 big plays, this game looks different.
Not even that. If it's yes. And if you get 2 to 3 big plays, I should say. It's not even that. It's like if that catch by DK is ruled a catch and not overturned.
Yeah.
If the fumble by Josh Jacobs is actually ruled a fumble and not overturned. Like there's just little moments where if Ryan Neal catches that ball, right? Little moments where you're like, well, what happens if that Neal interception is a touchback? What happens if that Josh Jones fumble turns into a touchdown for Seattle? Like what happens in all of these moments? And I will say, the Seahawks offense scored more points than all but 2 other teams this weekend. The problem is one of the teams was one that you were facing.
Yep.
The other one, though, was the Eagles. I mean, 34 points most of the time, the vast majority of the time, will win you a game. If the defense tightens things up here, you've got a team that looks like a real playoff contender.
One or two stops is all you need at
that game. That's it, man. Yep. That's it. All right, that will do it for What Caught My Eye. We're going to take a look around the rest of the NFL coming up at 12:30. Speaking of some of those other scores, we've got a changing NFC landscape. One team leapfrogged the Seahawks in the standings. We've also got the latest from Pete Carroll. And coming up at 1 p.m., we're going to open up phone lines. I know that you guys need to sound off about this game. So an hour, less than an hour, 45 minutes from now, we're going to open up phone lines for you guys to call in, talk Seahawks. Before we get to any of that, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, UW took back the Apple Cup on Saturday behind another incredible performance from Michael Penix Jr. What's the real headline?
And the Apple Cup returns to its rightful home.
Stacey, you're so much better than that.
That was, well,
you're
here's the
so
thing.
So much
that
better than that.
That was the joke that I felt was the least cutting and most friendly.
Nah, you should have just went for it.
I know.
Should have went for
it. Went for the jugular.
Yeah.
I didn't feel stellar about either defense coming out of this one. It was a fun game, though. I mean, a shootout is always a fun kind of football game, but if you've got a real rooting interest, you leave the game feeling like, oh, I hope the defense is a little better next time.
When you put up 700 yards of offense like UW did, you're supposed to win that football game. They controlled the line of scrimmage, neutralized our defensive line. That was the strength for WSU. Michael Penix did not get touched. Maybe once or twice he got a hand on him, but he escaped, looked downfield. Adunze had a game, five catches, 157 yards. They won it, man. They won it. Now, there were some suspect calls, and I got dog fans texting me, you guys were getting away with holding all game. I don't care.
We don't
shut
sound
your mouth.
Like that.
Shut your mouth. Shut your face when you talk to me, all right?
Headline rewrites.
Oh, I'll add, sorry to interrupt, Curtis. I was pulling up this tweet that there was a Mike Varell, friend of the show, UW Huskies reporter for
local
Seattle
triplet.
Times. Local triplet was at the press conference earlier today. I forgot to add this to begin this segment. And he said, a little update here, not news, but an update that Michael Penix Jr. at a press conference earlier today says that he hasn't made a decision on whether or not he's going to go to the NFL or enter the NFL draft.
Michael, listen to me. For the sake of Washington State football, go to the league, dog.
Get those checks.
Go to the league. Get that money.
I don't know. I mean, education's so important.
You know, hey, millions of dollars.
That guy's been in college for like 8 years. Yeah. He already has a degree. Hey,
you know what?
He has the Stacey double major.
Yeah, that's what it is. Start a triple
He's
major
going
there.
For another bachelor's, another four-year degree.
No, go get your money, Michael.
Headline number two, the Kraken will never lose again. Mm-hmm. They won their fifth straight. Second time this season they've had a five-game winning streak. They beat Anaheim last night 5-4. What's the real headline?
The best team in Seattle right now isn't on the gridiron. Yes, I know that that would include UW, especially after a phenomenal performance in the Apple Cup. But the Kraken on an almost six-game streak, if they win tomorrow night, I'm really giving them a lot of credit, too, for the way that they've been doing it. Much more offense. For the fact that they are second in the division. For the fact that they beat Vegas for the first time. And for the fact that in their second year as an expansion franchise, they're looking very much like a playoff team.
They're looking good, man. Won 10 of their last 12. They're getting golazos, as you say, in the soccer world.
That's goals.
That's
it's
goals. It's golazo. Get golazos. And, yeah, I mean, other than UW, they are the best team, professional team out here. You know, I almost want to call, like, college sports professional now because these dudes are getting paid as well.
I know.
But, yeah, man, Kraken, man, keep it rolling. I'm going to go buy me another hat. Kraken hat now.
I always feel like a little bit of a sellout when I say student athletes. I'm going to be real.
I was an athlete student.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You have no time
to
have them.
School. That was like Cardale Jones.
Exactly.
I love Cardale Jones. Remember when he issued that correction on that tweet when someone was like, Cardale Jones went to a hospital to play a kid in Madden and beat him like
86-13.
And then he issued a correction.
That was the score in the third quarter.
It ended up being 96 points. What a treasure.
Headline rewrites.
XFL legend.
Yeah.
DC Defenders.
Oh, speaking of, can't wait to watch Benvenuti.
Benvenuti.
Or as they say in Italian, Benvenuti.
Benvenuti.
Take over for the Seattle Sea Dragons in February.
Headline number three. He might fare a little better with Denver's offense because defensive tackle Mike Purcell of the Broncos was seen laying into Russell Wilson on the sideline of the Broncos' 23-10 loss to Carolina.
Okay.
What's the real headline?
I'm sorry. Was 3 points not good enough for Mike Purcell? What more do you want, okay? We found the end zone area.
We were in the vicinity.
We were in the vicinity of the end zone. What more do you want, Mike? Huh?
You know, when I was in school, there were, you know, there's bullies in high school or whatnot. and you see a bully like talking to a kid, or not even bully, like the tough guy who knows who to pick on because he's not going to do anything back. That's the feeling I got when I saw Mike go after Russell Wilson. I'm like, he know Russell ain't going to say nothing back to him, man. He know Russell ain't going to do nothing.
No.
And Russell looked so scared, man. I felt so bad for my guy. Russell, ain't, he's not a fighter.
He's not.
No.
Russ isn't even like a huge leader. It's not that he's, not that he can't lead or isn't confident or isn't talented, but he was never that here. He kind of had to have like Doug Baldwin sometimes take that role with the team. Like, he's just more of a, like a quiet dude that I think has been, through a lot of his own action, put into this very forward-facing role, but he's not like a in-your-face alpha guy.
Nah, not at all.
Yeah. Were you a bully in high school or junior high, elementary school?
Heck no.
Were you bullied?
Nah, I was just the weird quiet kid until like seventh grade when I started playing sports and then I got cool all of a sudden.
Yeah, weird how that works.
Yeah.
Curtis, were you a bully?
No. Were you? I'm a pacifist. That doesn't mean I want to pass my fist through your face if you cross me.
God. How long have you been holding on to that one?
Sitting on it for a while.
Quite a while.
No one asked me if I was a bully.
Were you, were you a mean girl?
Yeah.
No, I was not. No, I was not.
You can't sit with us.
Yeah, no, I was.
We're pink on Fridays. Is that the thing? My
no,
wife watches that
no,
movie.
No, I was not a mean girl because it's a great movie because Jennifer Bumpus has great taste. It's a fantastic movie. No, I was not. I don't know. I don't know any bullies, really. It's always wild when, like, you're friends with someone and you find
you
out a crazy
bully.
Thing about
you
their
are
past.
The bully.
I was not a bully. I was not a bully. Someone said what's worse is no one stepped up to fight for Russell.
Not in that situation.
Yeah.
Those are grown men with differences.
You just let them figure it out.
Unless he puts hands on them and Russ is getting his butt kicked, then you step in. But that's just.
And I do think the offense, no matter what, whether or not you are best friends with the quarterback, someone puts hands on the quarterback, someone puts hands on a receiver.
Well, and Purcell knows that Russ, A, isn't going to hit back because he's the quarterback, and B, he's like a foot shorter than him and probably 150 pounds lighter than him.
Easy.
So it's not going to be a fair fight anyway.
Did you hear the explanation from Russell, by the way?
Yeah.
So if you haven't, I'll summarize it very, very quickly. He basically said, hey, Purcell and the defense are really upset. They gave up a touchdown. He's basically saying, like, let's get back in this. That's the radio-friendly version. And I agreed with him, like, let's get back in this. So he was saying as though Mike was getting fired up and getting fired up kind of in his face, but about getting back in the game. I don't know.
Nah.
I don't know about that one.
No. You can tell by Mike's body language and Russ's body language that it wasn't a encouraging type of hype.
Yeah.
There was beef there.
All right, Odell Beckham Jr. updates and NFL headlines. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
This music always makes me so excited. I don't know what it is. It's just very NFL-y, you know what I mean? Coming up
in NFL Primetime Classic.
That's what it is. Coming up in 30 minutes. Why did the Seahawks lose yesterday?
Why?
You tell us. Why? How? I'll sway. Why did the Seahawks lose yesterday? That is your caller question coming up in 30 minutes. Think of your answer. You got 30 minutes. I will give you the number to call. It's going to be the text, same as the text line, but you don't need to call in now. You're going to be on hold for way too long. So, again, in 30 minutes, we are going to open up phone lines. Let's get
to... Can't call in and hold your spot?
You can call in and hold your spot. I just, that's way too long to wait.
It's a Monday. You got work to get to.
Yeah, you don't need to do all that.
Curtis is like, I'm not trying to answer these dang phones right now.
Exactly.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. All right. Odell Beckham Jr. was removed from a flight at Miami International Airport on Sunday. There were rumors Odell Beckham could be maybe joining the Cowboys. He's been linked to a couple other teams. But obviously the bigger story right now is what the heck happened with Odell?
We can speculate.
Yeah, we can speculate.
Maybe a couple,
of course. That's
couple
what this
drinks,
is for.
You know what I'm saying? Had a long night. You know, Odell is he's a night owl. He gets out there. He does his thing.
Young guy.
So maybe it was just a long night.
No, he was reportedly removed from the flight at Miami International Airport after the police said that he was in and out of consciousness and refused to leave the airplane when asked.
He was sleepy.
Yeah.
And he thought he was dreaming, so he didn't get up.
Miami-Dade police officers say that medical personnel were called by the flight crew after the flight crew expressed concerns that Beckham was seriously ill. So TBD, that's like an ongoing story. We don't know really what happened there yet, but that happened late yesterday. All right, moving on to our next story here. The Cardinals are in a tough spot in third place in the NFC West. The only reason they're not in last is because the Rams are absolutely abysmal. Kyler Murray not making the situation sound too much better. Take a listen to what he had to say about Arizona's coaching staff.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't for Hop, actually. Schematically, I mean, they kind of, we were kind of
schematically, we are F blank. You can fill in the blank
so
yourself.
So he's saying they got out coached.
Yes.
They did not adjust what they were taught to do or yes. trained to do was not working.
Yep.
Way to have your coaches back.
I mean, yes, it's a really bad look. You don't have your coaches back. Do you blame him? You should have your coaches back. Like, this is like a tenet of football and team sports. From the outside looking in, I agree with him.
Yeah, you agree. But
you,
as long
not
as you're
your
in that organization, as long as you're wearing the colors, the shield, the logo, you have to present a united front regardless. Because all you're going to do is give us material to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have us all speculating and asking questions that have nothing to do with football. And more about your relationship. And that's what we've been focusing on all year anyway. Their relationship, ever since that spat on the sideline, mm-hmm. that's been the focus.
Did we just see Aaron Rodgers suit up for the Packers for the last time? He left last night's game, a Sunday night game, a loss to the Eagles. Eagles dropped 40 on the Pack. He left that game with a rib injury, remained on the sideline. Instead, Jordan Love came in. Love played pretty well in relief, threw a quarterback after Rodgers exited. But obviously the question is, if Rodgers is going to be out, let's say that the rib injury is serious or he's got another, a thumb injury that he's dealing with or he's going to need surgery. Not only is this the last time we'll see him this year since the Pack are pretty much out of it, is this the last time we see him suit up for the Packers?
I think so. If he doesn't come back this year, I think this is it. And I think that he's not going to be in a rush to get back either. The season's already, it's already a wrap. You're 4-8. You're not going to win your division. You're not going to make the playoffs. You don't have the help you think you deserve and need on the outside in the offensive line. And we all know Rodgers is a fairly selfish human being.
Mm-hmm.
So he is going to chill. He's going to milk this injury, go on mm-hmm. vacation somewhere, and it's a wrap.
He's still going to have another scan on his ribs on Monday. He said that they had x-rays on his rib cage at the stadium, but it was hard to tell whether or not there were any fractures, so he's going to have some further imaging. Rodgers said, as long as I check out fine tomorrow, I expect to play this weekend being this upcoming game Sunday against the Chicago Bears.
Sounds good. I got to see it with him.
I know.
I have to see it.
He also had this weird line with something like, as long as we're in it, I'm playing. And it's like, well, what if you're not? Like, what if you're mathematically eliminated? You still want to play?
Nah.
I don't know. What you do.
If he's hurt more than a couple weeks, it is over for Aaron Rodgers. He will not be playing for the Green Bay Packers again. This is it. You heard it here, folks.
That's it.
You heard it here.
Done. All right, let's look at a couple other games here. The Browns beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are going to have a chance to get right in a game against the Texans, which is kind of like a get-back game for pretty much every team in the league right now. But it certainly wasn't a great performance against the Browns defense that has really struggled against the run, by the way. So the Bucs got the run game going against Seattle, couldn't replicate it against the Browns, who win 23-17. Are the Bucs out of it?
No, they're not out of it.
I know, because the NFC West is horrible. They might actually win their division with a losing record.
Yeah, you got Atlanta, Carolina, the Saints. We don't know what Atlanta's going to do. They're one of the more unpredictable teams in this league. As long as you're within a game or two at this point, you still have a chance, and you got Tom Brady. You never know.
All right, and the big surprise game of the weekend was, of course, the Jags coming in and surprising the Ravens, winning 28-27, a last-second 60-plus yard field goal attempt by Justin Tucker. Doesn't get it done. No, Justin Tucker is not washed. The Ravens have just had awful luck this year with being at like 80 to 90% win percentage in games, and then the floor is just completely dropped out, and they somehow find a way to lose. It happened with Miami. It's happened to the Jags. It happened. God, there was another game. Was it the Browns? I don't know what it was. They've had like three or four of those games this year where it looks like they've got it put away, and it's not enough.
How about Jacksonville running the ball 20 times for 38 mm-hmm. yards and still getting it done? How about Trevor Lawrence? 29 to 37, 321 and three touchdowns. Yeah, the Baltimore, but they're still 7-4.
Yep.
They're still a playoff contending team. I think it's more about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to focus on Trevor Lawrence because he is in a crucial time in his career. His second year here, he's supposed to be the second coming of Jesus. He's got the long hair. You know what I mean? Like, there was a high expectations for this young man. So I'm glad he had a game like this. This could help him with his confidence.
Speaking of great games, shout out Mike White, who replaced Zach Wilson for the Jets. Zach Wilson benched. He wasn't even a backup in this one. Joe Flacco was the backup. Zach Wilson didn't even suit up. Mike White suiting up for the Jets as the starter. Jets beat the Bears 31-10. More importantly, White, 22 of 28, 315, three touchdowns.
Now, people are going to say, oh, but Justin Fields didn't play. Justin Fields don't play defense.
Right.
He's a quarterback. Them Jets put up 31 points against the Bears. Mike White, man. The drama just continues over there in New York. So now what do you do? Yeah, Mike White, who just played a great game, 315, three
still
touchdowns.
Still on your schedule, by the way, coming up January, like, 2nd or something.
Yeah. So what do you do if you are solid? Do you ride with Mike White? Do you... You take Zach Wilson off of punishment and you bring him back in. And
I think
you
ride with Mike White.
You have to, right?
You have to.
All right, so now, so you activate Zach Wilson and then what? You deactivate Flacco?
I mean, yeah. Well, you don't have to deactivate or do anything.
You're not going to carry three quarterbacks on a 53. That can be even to a linebacker to run down on kickoff cover.
Yeah, okay. Then, I mean, you hang on to Wilson, but... Just in case. But if White's winning games, like, what has Wilson done? Genuinely, outside of, like, an amazing throw on the move at his pro day, what has Zach Wilson done to make anyone think he is the answer? He outplayed Josh Allen in one of Josh Allen's worst games in a win against the Bills, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. But he has a career completion percentage of, like, 55%. He's not the reason the Jets are great. Their defense is the reason they're great. A defensive rookie of the year performance from Sauce Gardner is the reason they're great.
Hey, didn't he beat Buffalo, though?
Well, yeah,
And he's a hit with the moms.
He is a hit with the moms.
Moms love him.
Moms love him. But I haven't seen anything from Zach Wilson where I've truly sat back and thought, this kid's the answer. No. There have been moments when I thought, like, okay, I'm going to be more patient with him. Like, he's got talent that's obvious, but
well, this is
I'm
his second year, too, though.
Yeah.
So... Give him another year.
It's just being benched into your second year of your career. It's one thing to be a rookie and you're struggling and maybe you get benched, or to even be a veteran who's getting older and you're benched. This is kind of when you want to take over. Like, imagine if Trevor Lawrence was benched. You'd be like, what's Jacksonville going to do with Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
It's a weird time in your career to get benched.
I think Zach will. Well, he's benched more because of his attitude, not his play.
Yes.
I think your first couple of years, you can play horribly and guys are going to stick with you. Peyton Manning had a horrible rookie season. So just change that attitude.
It is wild to think that if Zach Wilson would have come out and said, I didn't do enough, I played horribly, and I know we're better than this, he probably would have started against Chicago. All right, Pete Carroll was on with Brock and Salk this morning for an exclusive interview on the Pete Carroll Show. We will tell you the latest from the head coach next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
The latest from Pete Carroll on Pete Carroll Show this morning with Brock and Salk. He had plenty to say about this loss and, of course, a lot of questions about the run defense. So let's start there. Pete Carroll asked what he saw from the Raiders in terms of their rushing attack. Here's what he told them.
It was a totally different style of attack, and we didn't handle it. We tried to understand what happened against Tampa. We tried to come back with our stuff to fix it, and we didn't get it done. So we're still working at it. There's some things we have to clean up. Schematically, we have to commit more. You know, possibly, and
what does that mean?
Well, you get involved more in line of scrimmage with your DBs and stuff, and trying to numbers up the fact that they had a world class receiver out there affected us some. I mentioned that to you last night. You know, that we really did. I thought we made him pretty normal in the game, and he didn't have a big game, but he was good, and that was a good part of it. But it affected us in a number of ways because we were really trying to make sure that he wasn't the show, and hoping we would be able to hold on to the running game, and we didn't get that done.
Okay, so a couple things to take from this bump. Tell me if I'm right here. Number one, that they might have to play some more DBs in the box to try to strengthen their defense against the run. And number two, and this is more implied than said, there is something the Raiders were able to do successfully that the Bucs were also able to do successfully, and they haven't found a way to correct it yet.
He's talking about running that rock. That's what they've been able to do successfully.
Run
the
on
ball.
You.
They've been able to do that. And, yeah, it's a numbers game, right? If you want to stop the run, you go single high, you bring another body inside the box. Or you have a better chance to stop the run. And they played a lot of too high, but they did roll down and get digs in the box and Rhino at the box at times. But their base defense, like their approach, he's saying, wasn't effective enough when it comes to stopping Josh Jacobs. He said you normalize Davante Adams, 7 catches, 74 yards. Before that, I think he had like 2 or 3 games with over 120 yards and a touchdown. So you successfully did that, but then you allowed the run game to get going. Mm-hmm. And how do you fix that? Man, you, like I said, more bodies in the box, and you have to get lucky sometimes, man. Like, you got to slant to the right gap, to the right side sometimes. You got to get your big boys handling double teams. You got to get your linebackers diagnosing plays. So they're going to have to coach these guys up, and schematically they're going to have to be more prepared for whatever type of game is thrown at them, because I think they went into this game thinking that if you just stop the pass, you're good. Respect mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, but there's no way he's going to go for over 300 yards from scrimmage, right? No, I don't think they were prepared for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just making sure you're ready for whatever type of fight is presented.
All right, I'm sticking on defense so far here. Pete Carroll not just saying the run defense is a problem, but they haven't been able to get the pass rush going the last couple games. They got just 4 quarterback hits of Carr, really didn't bother him too much at all. This is 2 weeks after they only got 1 quarterback hit and no sacks of Brady.
Yeah, we were not effective yesterday like we wanted to be in, and we tried to use our situations and the tendencies and stuff like that, so we made sure that we could. They blocked us up pretty good. We did not get anything from the edge like we'd like, and our games inside, we kind of got caught up. They blocked us well. We need more rush to factor in on, you know, you saw them standing back there some, and when you get after any quarterback, it makes it harder for them, and we did not make it difficult enough for Carr yesterday. He did a really nice job in the game, so it's a big factor. We got to keep pushing it, and hopefully we can pressure a little more effectively. We threw some stuff at them, but they picked their stuff up. We need to do a little better there to help it.
Uchenna Nwosu currently leading the team in sacks with 7, which is something like 14 or 15th in the league. Not bad by any means, but you can't have a great pass rush when you're only recognizing one guy's name called out there regularly. Where's Daryl Taylor? Where's the other people on this, not just defensive front 7, but whether it's your inside linebackers getting involved as well? Whatever it is, they aren't getting enough pressure on quarterbacks.
How many snaps do you think Daryl Taylor played?
20.
18 snaps. And this is a
guy. Can I
just
say I'm impressed that I got even close to that?
Well done.
Thank you.
This is a guy who you were counting on this season
to
produce, and he just hasn't been producing. Machina's been doing his thing, but you're right. Like, good defenses in that box, you should be talking about 3 or 4 guys who are getting after the quarterback. And we just don't have that right now. I think there are some guys who can do it. I think Machina can do it. I think Boye's young. Once he matures a bit, he can do it. But, yeah, it's a committee type of thing. And even if you're not getting sacks, you want QB hits, you want pressures, you want him moving in the pocket. And for the last couple of weeks, we haven't seen a lot of that. So what do you do? It's not like you're going to make a trade right now.
Nope.
It's not like you already signed a 35-year-old off the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing more you can do but try to get the most out of this group. How do you do that? Man, scheme. More stunts up front. Blitzing. Being aggressive. Like, if you're going to get ran all over, man, let's do it being the most aggressive team out there. You said you feel good about that back end, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel good about the back end. So, man, send them. Let's go.
Yeah, cornerback blitz, something like that. Just add guys to the box. Get a safety in there. Ryan Neal, if he's healthy, get
hopefully
him back in there.
Hopefully, Ryan Neal. If Ryan Neal is not healthy, that is going to be a huge loss.
I've seen multiple people saying that they think, and I don't think they're wrong. There's no way to know, but I think it's a good theory, that if Ryan Neal were out there, that 86-yarder wouldn't happen.
I guarantee it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Good take, you guys. All right, let's do one more cut here, and then I'm going to introduce our caller question. We're going to have a very, very quick primer, and I was going to have you and I answer it in the segment. We won't have enough time, so we'll start the caller segment with it. All right. You know what? Let's talk about why we aren't seeing more of Daryl Taylor this season. Here's what P had to say.
Yeah, I know he's frustrated by it, too. He has high expectations. I know he is, and we're going to expect that he's going to be a factor in coming off the edge and more so. But it didn't happen yesterday. It's like we like, they did a good – I mean, you know, all in all, they blocked him, you know, and he wasn't able to get his edge wins like we're counting on.
This is really disappointing because the Seahawks haven't been playing exceptional offensive lines. Now, every player in the NFL, if you're a starter, is exceptional.
Yes.
Period. Yes. Period, point blank. However, they've played banged up offensive lines with Arizona, which, yes, they did sweep Arizona, so credit them with that. They've played some struggling offensive lines with the Chargers, with the Raiders. Like, all of these teams, the Bucs, have had either starters, second-year players, or injured players at some point during those games, and they still aren't finding a way to get pressure.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part, because you feel like there are opportunities out there for you to get it. You know what I mean? You mention all the injuries and you say, okay, on paper, because this guy's out, they should naturally be weaker. We should be more aggressive and be able to get it because we're the healthier team. We have our guys. And it just hasn't worked out that way. So I think this is where you get creative as a coach. This is why you bring over Desai. You got Clinton Hurt, your DC in the box. You got Carl Scott. Like, these guys got to come together and find ways to do a couple of things that they haven't put on film yet. Because that's the thing. At this point, week 12, 13, almost everything you want to do is on film, so teams are prepared for it. And then offensively, I think that's the easier side of the ball to create wrinkles and do more things, because you dictate really the flow of the game because you have the football. So now it's time for the coaches, because you can look at the players and they're the ones out there. They're the ones who are making these plays. But at this point of the season, you know who you got. You know, like, I don't expect Daryl Taylor to rip off 10 sacks for the rest of the year. What you can do is have him get in there and find a ways to put him in a spot to where he's comfortable mentally, physically, and he applies some pressure. So it's time for the coaches to do it, man. Players got to make plays, but coaches can help them out.
I got a simple question, but I think it's got like 30 different answers. So curious to hear what you, Bump, have to say and what callers have to say. It's simple. Why did the Seahawks lose yesterday?
Why, simple as it gets.
Why did the Seahawks lose to the Raiders? Call in now. 866-979-3776. If you want to write this number down, think of your answer and then call in. You got a couple minutes over the break. 866-979-3776. Bump and I have our answers. You guys have yours. So let's get this started. Caller segment next.